Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Senior Supervising Producer Maureen Harvey in for Sheila Cast. Here's a Stoop story from Erica Rimlinger about her pink flamingo pranks.
By the time we'd reached middle school, my friend C and I had already racked up a string of failed businesses. There was the cosmetics company called Lucky Lady, the detective agency, and we invented a bicycle drum hybrid called We Got the Beat Right in the Street. To what end? Nothing. We hadn't made a penny, and our moms were sick of us grinding up their lipstick for sport. We were done with capitalism, so we turned to crime. It was the 80s in Stoneleigh. We had Princess Diana haircuts, and our moms drove us around in wood-paneled station wagons, but they usually told us to walk. But the moms of the kids we babysat were different. They had minivans with baby on board signs, and they told us to help ourselves to the frozen tofu in the freezer when we babysat. They were called yuppies, and they were the first people to have pink flamingos. When the pink flamingos first appeared, it's like they were almost begging to be stolen, really. They had those dumb grins, and they just come right out of the ground with this very satisfying shh. So we took to stealing them. We didn't keep them. Okay, we didn't keep them. We'd move them to another yard, or we'd arrange them in flamingo conga lines, or we stuck them in pumpkins to give them shoes. So, but there weren't a whole lot of flamingos, and so we eventually got a little bored, and we were running out of flamingos to steal. A highlight was when the community newsletter speculated on our identity and called us delinquents. We are very proud. So, and during this time, our parents thought we were in the basement playing Frogger, but we weren't. So, business was slumping a little, but then one day, they moved in, the flamingo people. As they unloaded their van, the first flamingo popped up in their yard, and they never stopped popping up. There were flamingos of every size and color. They were in the yard, in the trees, in the deck lights, everywhere. C and I watched and waited. We knew that we'd strike. And we knew it had to be epic. We were in a whole different league now. So when we did strike, we were subtle. We plucked a flamingo from the center of a herd, a flock. Whatever. We knew they'd notice. And we had, or C had, one of those new teeny tiny video cameras that were about the size of a small compact car. And so we took the flamingo, or Frankie, we named him Frankie, took him back to C's house, and we blindfolded him and bandaged him, and we videotaped him pleading for help. We dropped the videotape in their mail. Oh, we demanded ransom, birdseed. And we said that if you agree to these terms, you should tie a yellow ribbon around the oak tree in your front yard. So we dropped the teeny tiny videotape in their mailbox. And the next day, we rode our bikes past their house, and there was a giant yellow ribbon around their oak tree with a dozen little flamingos sticking out. And there was a banner that said, a dot matrix paper, that said, "Bring back our daddy." And there was a note. It accused us of terrorism. It accused us of violating the Pink Flamingo Geneva Convention. And it said, if you want to talk, you can come to our house for UN-monitored peace talks Saturday at 7 p.m. So on Saturday at 6:55 p.m., it appeared that the flamingo people were having a barbecue. We knew this because we were hiding in the bushes in their backyard. We were wearing a disguise, a ski mask, sombreros, and ponchos. So there were about a dozen yuppies in the backyard. Music was playing, the barbecue was going. And at 7 p.m. exactly, my friend C stood up in the bushes, her sombrero rising out of the shrubbery. And in her loudest voice, she said, "Attention, flamingo owners!" The music stopped. A woman screamed, "It's the voice! It's the voice from the tape!" And then a man said, "Capture them." The yuppies charged. C and I ran, tossing the flamingo back and forth between us. "You take him. No, you take him." So as we were running down the street, my poncho flying behind me, I began to reevaluate the life choices that have brought me to this moment. And then I was captured by four men who had me by the legs and arms and were screaming, "Put her hand on the grill, make her talk." So, as it turned out, prison was not so bad. They gave us hot dogs and Diet Coke, and they gave us a tour of their house. They had pink flamingo cookie jars and pink flamingo shower curtain and pink flamingo bread boxes. I mean, it was crazy. These people were crazy. But they were not treating us like thieves. They were treating us like fellow flamingo connoisseurs. And because they knew us and they knew where we lived and they knew our parents, but because they never told on us and they kept our identities secret, and also maybe because they had thoroughly bested us at our own game, we never stole another flamingo from them or from anyone ever again. Until years later, C and I were on a break from college and we drove past their house. We saw that there were no more flamingos in their yard. However, there were four waist-high inflatable penguins on their front stoop. We turned to each other and said, "Penguins?" 20 seconds later, we were stuffing a penguin in the trunk of our car. The next day, his companion showed up on C's doorstep. There was a yellow ribbon around his neck and a note. It said, "Game on."
That was a Stoop story from Erica Rimlinger about growing up in Baltimore's Stoneleigh neighborhood. We have more information about the Stoop storytelling series, including live events and the Stoop podcast, at the On the Record page at WYPR.org. The next Stoop event is April 18th. The theme is Too Close for Comfort, Tales About Roommates to Remember. I'm producer Maureen Harvey, in for Sheila Cast. Glad you're with us on the record. Hope your weekend is delightful.